check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Not doing too shabby. It's another Tuesday in the books. Ready for a three-day weekend this coming week.
Yeah, me too. I'm always looking forward to an extra day off.
Amen.
But this week, we had to swerve. We are going to be reviewing the movie The Funeral. Because we had to switch away from stream, which we wanted to review, but because of there weren't any showings around that we could make happen. We actually discussed this last episode, but we had some showings get dropped in our areas, so it really wasn't feasible within a reasonable driving distance for us to see it. So we had to switch and do a different movie, but we will be reviewing stream as soon as we can, and as soon as it is available digitally to us. Yep. So, but now we are reviewing the movie The Funeral, which is on Screambox. It's out now. Before we get there, we got lots to talk about. Ike, what did you watch this week?
Oh, man. Honestly, not a whole lot. I'm going back through and watching the some stuff about Five Nights at Freddy's. They recently put out a new game, so it's been fun watching that. Honestly, not a whole lot else. I've been kind of busy, so it's just been a lot of just watching YouTube when I can get a second. We even took a break from Supernatural, so I haven't watched Supernatural in a little bit. So,
boo,
right?
I watched. I watched a few cheesy slashers that we're putting on the list for future reference. I watched Blood Diner from 1987. I watched Pool Party Massacre from 2017. I watched The Intruder from 1989. I think that's it this time. Just some bad slashers, which I won't go into too much because at some point in time they will pop up in our cheesy slashers. We'll talk about them more then. But otherwise, that's pretty much all I watched. Just stuff like that. And the movie for this week. So if that's the case, then let's move on.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And speaking of, that brings us to our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where Ike and I present to you a movie that is just what it says, a cheesy slasher from the past. One might say a bad slasher. Some occasionally you'll get one so bad that it's good. But this week, unfortunately, I watched this movie too. This was also one I watched. Unfortunately, this to me does not fall into that. This week we present to you the movie Hack-O-Lantern. It was released March 25th, 1988. It was written by Dave Eisenstark and Carla Robinson, directed by Jacques Mundra, and is described as a kindly old grandfather, is actually the leader of a murderous satanic cult which sacrifices its victims on Halloween. The movie is available to watch on Tubi. There is not much more information out there that I can find on this movie. And yikes, this movie wasn't very good. It had some moments, but overall, it was left a lot to be desired. But if you're looking to watch something of that nature, or to formulate your own opinion, there you go. Go watch Hack-O-Lantern on Tubi. And I will tell you that the kindly old grandfather, as they put it, is, well, he's old, but he's not very kindly. He's a horrible piece of shit in so many ways. So But there you go. That is the cheesy slasher of the week, if you so choose to watch it. So let's transition on to our next segment.
Talk to us, Internet!
And this is the segment that we call Talk to Us, Internet, where we respond to either listener responses or feedback or comments, or we just talk about something in general that came up online or on social media that caught our attention. And this week, we're going with the number two option there. And I would talk about, you see, there's quite a few people, quite a few, I don't know what you want to call it, other podcasts or other sites and different things on social media that are doing live, like watch slash tweet alongs on social media, where they pick either a movie or a show or something, and they're setting a time to all watch it, and they're watching it kind of live as you go, they're all tweeting about it with a set hashtag as they go, as kind of a way to interact online, and it always seems to create a lot of interaction, a lot of engagement. It seems like a pretty kind of a cool, fun way to use social media and for the horror genre, or just movies in general, or just entertainment in general, right? It can be for any kind. It seems pretty cool. Lots of people. And there's lots of people that they're using. One way that I've noticed it prominently used is with the drive-in show with Joe Bob Briggs, when they have a new episode out, because it releases at a certain time. And they're all, they live watch that together and tweet as it goes, but they do it with other shows, right? There's lots of watch alongs with different things. And it seems like a pretty cool, fun thing. And it seems like something that, quite potentially maybe you and I can explore in the future to give a shot, to create some interaction online and utilize. So what do you think of this concept?
Yeah. Obviously I'm down for that. I'm always down to watch a horror movie, and, if our fans want to watch along and, tweet and comment and everything else, it's always a good time. I love the interaction. And I've seen other people do it. In fact, the movie Life of Belle, they did a tweet along thing. I remember that when we interviewed the creator, he was telling us a little bit about that and his experience with that, and he seemed to like it. I obviously, it's social media is a lot of things, and sometimes it can be bad, but it has created some pretty cool little nifty things, such as watch along, tweet along type deals. So yeah, I'm all for it. If we get some people together, they say they want to do it, I'm all for it. I'm all for that interaction. I've also seen similar things done in like Discords and things of that nature. Obviously, Discord to me is a weird thing. I've tried using it before, so I'm not super savvy with it. But Twitter or X or whatever the fuck they call it, that's a probably a little more accessible, I would say. But yeah, I'd be down.
Yeah. It seems for the most part, it seems like a very fun way for people to interact and share, a common interest, and seems pretty cool. So that might be something we discuss. I would say we kind of need, at least for us in the initial, maybe to tie it to like a movie anniversary or something, and do one. I know this is a big year. I'm pretty sure a big anniversary. I think this is if I'm remembering right, the 70th anniversary, or the 50th anniversary of the original Halloween. Not 50. What is it? It came out in 78. Never mind. I'm off. We missed that
40 something.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever the case may be, just to tie it to a movie anniversary, right? Where we do it on the anniversary date of the movie release, something like that, is something that just makes a little sense and might have some, people have some interest in seeing the movie. And, it's kind of a low pressure thing. If people want to participate and tweet along or not, or read our tweets, so be it. If not, okay, well, we watched a movie and kind of commented as we went. No big deal. So that sounds like a fun thing and something we'll explore in the future, but I like the concept. So
very good.
Let's move on then to our next segment.
Seven Screams of Horror.
And this week we are visiting the 7 degrees of horror. This is the same concept of whatever it is. Is it 6 degrees? 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, we're giving ourselves one extra degree. I guess ours is called the 7 Screams of Horror, but we're giving ourselves an extra step just in case we need it. But this is where we are presented two actors by Isaac's wife Kayla, and we are to link them together through their work. And we have a point system. Ike, do you want to explain the point system to the listeners?
Sure thing. So the long and short of it, folks, is that when you make these connections, there is a 1 point value for if you can connect them with a horror movie. It can be as many horror movies as you want. Realistically, you can do more than 7. Obviously, the idea is to get it less than 7 or as less as possible. So technically, the lowest score you could get in this game is a 1, kind of like in golf or whatever else, you know, mini golf. You want to get that number 1. You want that eagle. And so, yeah, there you go. That's what you want. But sometimes, depending on how sketchy the connections get, you can use a non-horror movie, but it's 2 points. So let's say you connect them using 1 non-horror movie and 1 horror movie. That's a 3-pointer. So ideally you want it as low as possible, which is 1 connection. Because technically if they're in the same movie together, that's 0 points. And if it's 1 movie connection, then it's 1 point, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's if it's a, you may have said this, but that's if it's a horror movie, right? 1 point for right. A horror movie, 2 points for a non-horror movie.
That's right.
And the two names that we were given for this installment was, how do you say his name? Go ahead, give him the names. I can't pronounce the one.
No, you're good. It's Daniel Kaluuya. It's actually pronounced the same way the alcohol is. So
okay, that's what I thought, but I didn't want to
butcher. Yeah, and Toni Collette. So those are the two that we have.
Okay, so points wise, Ike, what do you think you have?
All right, so I always have to remember this. So that's 1. Not counting the first and last move, like the first and last connection, I think I have it connected within 2 points.
Okay. So that means you have it connected with either 1 non-horror movie or 2 horror movies.
Yes.
Okay. I have a 3. I have it connected with a horror movie and a non-horror movie. So you would win this round. So my connection is Toni Collette was in the Fright Night remake with Christopher Mintz Plasse, who was in Kick-Ass 2 with Daniel Kaluuya. That was my connection. So what do you have for yours?
So I have Daniel Kaluuya is in Nope with Steven Yeun, and Steven Yeun is in The Twilight Zone with Adam Scott, and Adam Scott is in Krampus with Toni Collette.
Okay, see that's 3 movies.
Yeah, I never remember because we don't count the first person or the last person, right?
Well, we don't count the people. We count the movies in between the two.
So you have 2 movies, right? Or do I have 3
no,
movies?
No. You have 3. We count all the movies. We don't count the people per se. So you connected it with 3 movies that are horror movies. So you have a 3 also.
Yes, then that would be correct.
Yes. And I have a 3-2 as well. So we had a draw this time. So
I always get confused with these points, man.
Yeah, it can get confusing.
It sounds so simple, but we get lost.
Well, we are just simple bird, small town lawyers here. And
that's right.
So there you go, a draw for us, 3 points apiece. So we had a draw in the 7 Screams of Horror this time. So, all right, well there you have it. That's all the weekly little segments and fun stuff we do to open up the show and warm up the audience. And we hope you enjoyed those. But we're going to get down to the heart of the matter now. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss news, upcoming birthdays, movie anniversaries, etc. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, so first things first, right off the presses, the first full trailer for Terrifier 3 is going to be released on August 28th. So when you guys have watched this or listened to this, you will have already seen this trailer. As of recording, we've yet to see the trailer, so we can't really talk about it too much, but super stoked for it. It's going to be amazing. Obviously, I mean, come on. Full trailer? What are you talking about? Like, I'm so excited. We love the teaser trailer. The teaser trailer was super well received, I would say. I also heard that this is going to be an uncensored trailer from what I hear.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Yeah, super excited. It does fall in that weird, whatever you want to call it, black hole between recording and release here. Where, yeah, like you said, we have yet to see it on the day we're recording, but by the time this is dropped, it will be out. So, of course, we will be sharing it all over the social media platforms, and I'm stoked. I'm just like so excited. It's like I'm counting down. It's like early Christmas to get to see this. But anything, like we've had this discussion before. I love their marketing where they're dropping little things here and there, and they did a reveal on a poster here recently where they each day just took off part of a cover, so you just saw a little bit at a time. I love what they're doing because every little aspect that they release, it's like we're starved to see it, and it's really helping to build the hype.
Yeah, it really is. And it's only going to get more and more hype the closer we get. So, you know, it's like before we know it, the movie's going to be here and we are going to be super stoked. We only got about, what, like a month and a half at this point?
Yeah, October 11th. So, yeah, just a little over a month.
See?
Yeah, about a month and a half, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting close. Like, it's, you know, it's end of August. You know, by the time this episode comes out, it's literally going to be like, what, the 29th when this episode comes out. So, I mean, it's just crazy. Crazy, crazy. But, anywho, moving on to Mike Flanagan's Hush is now available video on demand for the first time. Now, we talked about this before when we actually reviewed the movie, and we had a hard time locating it, so it's good to know that it's actually somewhere, you know, officially video on demand. But, you know, that's how it always is. We always talk about it. If there's a physical media release, that's the best way to catch a movie because you never know who has the rights and when those rights expire. So, exciting for, you know, good old Mike Flanagan and all of the Flanagan-verse.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. We did a Wiser Bud on this, on Hush. And everything else, but we had this thing in the news thing a couple of times, I believe, but yeah. Where it was so odd that it was all the stuff was hung up and had never gotten a physical release or you know any kind of streaming release or digital release. I think there was a rights issue or whatever it might be, but now I think Flanagan's got all the rights back and it has been able to work out deals. And it's, you know, it's coming out video on demand. I'm pretty sure at some point it's coming out streaming. I do know. It is going to finally get a physical media release. We've had this as news, so yeah, it's pretty exciting. And it's you know, while it has maybe it's been frustrating maybe for people who'd wanted to see it in the recent past, it's also kind of cool because you have this movie who's, you know, kind of come and gone and had its run, but now it's almost like it's getting this whole second life because it's like. You know, it's like it's almost like getting a release, a brand new release again, because right. You know, it's not like it's just getting remastered and put. This is like the first time it's readily been available in this capacity, so it's kind of cool. So it's kind of, you know, going to get a lot of new attention on the movie and everything else, which is you know, I'm sure it's kind of exciting for them, and it's a pretty neat thing to see.
Yeah, absolutely, and like we said all the time. Physical media release is the best way to make sure you have a copy of.
Mm-hmm.
This is the perfect example.
Well, yeah, for these reasons here. I mean, this is, you never know what's going to happen. Even to movies that are out there now.
Yeah.
You know, you never know when someone's going to say, especially because these some of these older movies, right, that we all love so much, you never know when someone's going to step up and say, hey, wait a minute. You know, I have a right to this movie. I developed whatever. And they contest, you know, ownership or production rights or whatever. And when that stuff, when that happens, bam, it just ties everything up if it's in legal matters. And it's just pretty much jerked down off of everything until everything's sorted out. And so, you know, I mean, look at the limbo that Friday the 13th's been in and everything and whatnot. So it's, you know, if you've got your physical copies though, those are, you know, those are lawsuit free zones there. You've got them and can watch them at your leisure.
That's right. Good Lord. And I'm sure there's plenty of other, here's a crazy thing too, is there's probably a lot of movies that like are caught in some sort of like rights and marketing hell because, and we don't know it, you know what I mean? They don't get, probably don't get talked about. So I'm sure there's some out there. So it's just crazy to think about that. There's probably movies that we love that we probably have on DVD or virtually somewhere that isn't streaming or something. And yeah, it's just crazy to think that there will probably be at some point a movie that we love that will probably be gone forever because of rights and all kinds of bullshit. So
yeah, it pops up every once in a while, right? When I'm looking for something, I mean, recently, you know, I wanted to watch Return to Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, whatever, you know, just got this hair at my ass. I was going to watch it, wanted to watch it. And, it's nowhere. You can't find it. Right. And for the same kind of reasons, it's just not out there. It did get some form of a physical release back in the day, but it's not anymore. Right. It's not something that they did multiple, whatever you want to call it. And to try to find a copy is it costs a ton. Yeah. And it's not streaming. It's not video on demand. It's, you know, so it's, that's one of those movies that fits in there too. So if you're one of those people that at the time bought the DVD, you don't have to worry about that, right? You've got it and can watch it when you want to watch it. And, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love streaming. I love the convenience of it. I love these platforms that enable us to watch movies, obscure movies that maybe we would have never been able to see otherwise. But it is, it to me, it's just become imperative, the importance of maintaining a physical library. And that's not even diving into the editing type stuff, right? I mean, because stuff gets, when it's put out there in advance, sometimes it's edited differently, or it's parts are, you know, some, they trim it down for runtime, all kinds of different things. And, you know, so the stuff that's physical release preserves the original, or what have you. And, you know, and that's not, you know, we're not even talking about, you know, commentary stuff and little documentaries, just all kinds of things. There are so many reasons that everybody needs to fight to not let physical media die out.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely. Moving on, before we get too far down that rabbit hole, Longlegs.
Yeah. Hey, sorry about whoever it was. Yes, Dave got on the soapbox again, and
it happens. If they comment again, they can be on the next episode. We'll talk about it again.
Yeah.
But Longlegs is now video on demand, guys. I've been actually wanting to watch this again.
Me too.
I just, oh man, I quote it all the time. Like, I can't remember what we were doing, but like, we were driving the other day, even after the last episode on the podcast. And I know, because I said this last time, because we talked about Longlegs, I was driving and Kayla was sitting next to me. So it's kind of a funny story. And I just go, just, we're silent. We're sitting there listening to the radio. And I'm like, super loud. And it scares the absolute shit out of Kayla. So that obviously she didn't like it, but I very much enjoyed doing it. So
I've been wanting to watch it too. And, you know, there, like I said, video on demand, I'll be purchasing it, but that also probably means it not too far behind. It's just some form of a streaming release on one of the platforms. So, you know, we talked about how well it did in theaters, highest grossing indie movie of the year of any sort. But just imagine now what it's going to do when it hits streaming, right? If there's that many people that went and saw it in the theater, imagine what it's going to do now, because people are going to be scrolling through and say, oh, that's that movie I heard about.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's going to be big. It's going to be big again, all over again. And I hope so, because this movie, I mean, you can listen to our review in the archives, but I love it. And I'm so excited, and I cannot wait to watch it again.
Me too. But check it out on Video On Demand, guys. Give it some love, as always. Moving on to M. Night Shyamalan's Trap will be available video on demand on August 30th. This is another one of those that we did officially review, and I quite enjoyed it. It was a very enjoyable movie. It was a good, just enjoyable time. It didn't have anything crazy going on in it, so I won't go too far into it. But we did have a full review. You can check out in the archives, of course. But yeah, again, another movie. Give us some love on video on demand. It'll probably have a streaming release shortly after. And I would imagine a physical media release as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. Another movie, yeah, like you said, we have, you know, a review in the archive, another movie that I fully enjoyed, and another movie that I've kind of been itching to watch again. So, you know, I'm glad, you know, I went and saw it in the theaters and now get that second go round to get to watch it again when it's released digitally.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another one I wouldn't mind watching, you know, every now and then, one of those, you know, kind of like I'm on a schedule almost once a year. I feel like I could watch that, you know, every year or so. And yeah. It could be part of my, you know, my list, if you will.
Yeah. I agree.
But very good. Moving on to The Watchers, begins streaming on Max August 30th. Again, another movie we watched and reviewed. Generally favorable reviews from us here at Listening to Their Screams. And I believe it was on this. We actually talked about this not too long ago because it had a video on demand release, but yeah. It's actually on streaming on Max. So if you have Max, you can watch the wonderful movie Watchers.
Yeah, another fun movie that, you know, we generally were all liked. I think this is M. Night's daughter, right? That did this one. One of his daughters.
Yep.
And sure is. And so, you know, there's that a lot of M. Night here today. And not only, you know, M. Night with Trap, and M. Night's one daughter was in Trap as an actress and singer. And I'm assuming this is a different daughter that's did The Watchers. And wow, talented family. But yeah, anyway, yeah, The Watchers. It's another one that, you know, now that, you know, hitting Max or whatever, I would probably give it a rewatch and watch it again. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you watch an initial movie or watch a movie initially, excuse me, and, good or bad, right? You get a certain, it makes a certain impact on you. And then you watch it a second time and it either you think better of it when you watch it the second time, or you're like, you know, you've calmed down from that, that excitement a little bit. And it's always cool to do a follow up, you know, watch when you're at home and kind of in your routines, because sometimes you get a different perspective on it. And, you know, you see it in a different, kind of a different light. To me, there's always this thing about going to the theater, no matter what the movie is, that, cause I just love going to the theater, right? It's an event for me, right? That you get to go out and you go to the theater. I get excited about going to the theater. I love going and the whole act of it, right? And, so sometimes movies, I, you know, maybe I see them a little better because I'm excited just about being there and seeing them on the big screen and that whole thing. You know, so sometimes when I watch them a second, I'm like, oof, why did I think highly of that? Right. And
yeah.
And then there's lots of times where I watch a movie and I'm like, yeah. And then I watch them again. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You know, I kind of misjudged that a little bit. So it's, I don't know. To me, it's, I don't know. I like to give things second views to see if I see them in a different light. So, but I didn't, I got sidebarred again there. I apologize there to all the people, you know. Dave's soapbox just won't go away today.
Yeah.
but again, I enjoyed The Watchers, and I don't think that opinion will change. So it's another, just like Long Legs, just like Trap, that, you know, I'm excited to see a second time.
No, absolutely. I 100% agree. And you're not wrong. Sometimes with these movies, you give it a watch that first time, maybe you miss something, you know what I mean? And you give it that second look and you're like, ah, yeah, that's what I was missing.
Yeah.
So. But good stuff. Check out Watchers. You won't be sorry. Or maybe you will. I don't care. Anyways, official theatrical posters have been released for Terrifier 3, as we already said, but also Pinocchio Unstrung and Bambi the Reckoning. So check those out on our social media accounts. Honestly, the trailers for all, or not the trailers, the posters for all these are amazing.
They are.
Specifically, I really like the Bambi poster. I think it's...
Yeah.
It's weirdly like creepy, and I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be weirdly good.
Yeah, I am so excited. for the expansion of the Pooniverse. And I just, man, I love these movies. Are so fun to me, right? And just the concept of these, and just those names, right? Pinocchio Unstrung, Bambi the Reckoning. It just makes me all tingly in excitement. It just seems so. It's because it's fun, right? It's just like, it's not meant to be taken seriously and sit there and it's just a good time. And so much of the horror that I love is just, it's just meant to be fun, not necessarily make sense or what, you know what I mean? It's be realistic. And I'm not knocking that, but there's something, I don't know, something that's very childlike about just being able to escape and have fun and stuff. And I mean, even Terrifier 3 falls in that vein for me, right? I get that same feeling. So all three of these movies I'm super excited about, and seeing the posters, and they're just gorgeous. And just make me all the more excited. Because I all three of them, I saw them, I was like, oh, damn, I'd love to have that hanging on my wall.
Right.
And it's like, Monica is just does not like what we label the public domain horror movies. She, anybody out there, if you notice on our social media posts, anything about these, she's typically replying. She typically puts something boo or puts a mad face, or these are the only, she'll like a lot of our stuff, but these are the only ones that really she reacts to. And she does not like the blood and honey concept. She's not watched them. Now let's be honest about this. She just won't, but she, she wants her fairy tales the Disney way, and she doesn't want to see otherwise. I can very much separate the two. And while I do enjoy, the Disney Pinocchio and Pooh and Bambi, I do enjoy those and appreciate those very, very much and love those. Well, this is a different avenue with them, and I can separate the two and enjoy them both. But apparently the blood leaks over to the Disney side for Monica, and she does not like them. And so it's kind of funny. So I don't think she would allow me to hang these posters up in our home. But
she I have a feeling that if you tried, just the mere attempt would probably sanction like execution in her eyes or something.
Perhaps. I don't know. I'm not so sure, as much as I love these movies, if this is the hill that I want to die upon. So
right. Right.
Oh, no offense to the Pooniverse, but
right. You're like, no offense, Pooniverse. I just don't feel like dying today. It's fine. But hey, I just have a feeling that eventually at some point, like there will be like one of those movies that like she watches and actually enjoys. Has to be.
I don't know. Maybe, but I'm not sure what it would be. Even though I tried to explain to her with some of these things that they were not, well, most of the, all these things were not originally Disney type stuff, but some of them were not so pristine to begin with. Now, right. Winnie the Pooh aside, Winnie the Pooh has always been kind of lovable and whatever, even when you go back to the stories. But, and I'm not saying these particularly, but, lots of these things are derived from Grimm fairy tales and so on, which are not real cool to begin with. And some of these movies are actually more in line with that.
Right.
Than Disney, but that's, it is what it is. She's not a fan, so be it. I am, and the poster just make me that much more.
Yeah. Hey, like I said, different strokes for different folks. That's all there is to it. But, all right, moving on to some upcoming birthdays. We have a couple good ones here. First things first, August 29th, 1939, William Friedkin, the director of The Exorcist. We've spoken at length about how much we like The Exorcist. That's all there is to it. The Exorcist is easily one of the most iconic horror films of all time. What more can you say?
Even if whatever reason you don't like the movie, it's still, no one can argue how impactful the movie is and how well made the movie is. How it holds up, and that's all because of him and his directing, and despite anything else, you cannot deny his work with the film.
True, absolutely true. Moving on though to August 29th, oh my God, they're born the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Schumacher, who
is that right?
I don't know. Let me check.
Well, possibly, because I don't think Joel Schumacher is no longer with us. Same day, August 29th, 1939. Yeah. I mean, Joel Schumacher is no longer alive, so yeah. Gosh, it just doesn't seem like they're, it doesn't even feel like they're from the same generation.
No.
That's peculiar. But
I mean, one of them made one of the most iconic horror movies of all time. One of them put nipples on Batman, so.
Hey.
I kid. But no, for real though, Joel Schumacher, he's actually made quite a bit of really, really great stuff. There's actually a movie that I watched years and years ago. It's from 2002 that I really like, but like I feel like nobody ever talks about. It's called Phone Booth. It's like that closed kind of set movie where it's just the guy in the phone booth. It's kind of like a suspense thriller type deal.
Did that have Colin Farrell in it?
It sure did.
Yeah. Okay, I remember that now. Yeah, I remember because that was. I'm pretty sure I remember that because I think that was a big video rental at the time. Got a big push. Am I remembering that? Was that right on the tail end of video stores?
It was. It was 2003. Yeah. So that was probably the hype end of 2002, I'm sorry, of like video releases.
Yeah, and it seemed like he got a big push like at the videos, right? You know, posters and everything everywhere for it. Like they were really pushing it as a big rental or whatever. So I watched the movie back, you know, whatever, but man, I remember nothing about it.
It's weird because I was looking at the cast list, which it has obviously Colin Farrell, it has Kiefer Sutherland, Forrest Whitaker, and Katie Holmes is in this movie too.
Damn, that's a cast.
Yeah, that certainly is, but that's cool. Yeah, but that's a nice little gem for you guys if you want to catch that somewhere. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. IMDb does not say, so it might be on Prime or like another video on demand service. So check that out sometime. You guys won't be sorry. It's not horror, but it's fun.
There you go.
But well, all right, moving on from the two people who weirdly share a birthday to August 30th, 1797. You heard that right. We have the baddest motherfucker of them all, Mary Shelley, who is the author of Frankenstein and often contributed as the mother of horror.
Yeah. I mean, it is just crazy to think that she wrote this at that time. And it's just unbelievable. And you couldn't even count the adaptations, movie adaptations of that. I mean, how many times has Frankenstein been done? In one way or another, just the concepts of it, not even directly per se, but just the concept of it. It's just unbelievable. How influential.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, like you said, not only counting all of the different versions of Frankenstein in media, but just the impacts and sort of the trickle down effect that Frankenstein has had, not only on literature, but just on the greater scope of horror movies in general. So it's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
but moving on to September, here in a couple weeks, you're going to have the best birthday of them all, which is my birthday in September. I'll tell you what. But I did not know that I share a birthday month with Elliot Fulham, who is Jonathan in Terrifier 2 and 3, September 2nd, 2004. Makes me cringe a little bit because he was literally born like when I was already 10 years old, but okay. Yeah. 9 years old, but still.
He's quite the young man.
He is. He's pretty young. Actually, weirdly enough, I saw him on TikTok the other day because he has a TikTok. And I've never liked any of his stuff before, never seen anything of his stuff before. But he just so happened to come across my TikTok because he's got I think he has a girlfriend or something like that. Mm-hmm, but they were doing some TikTok trend together. And I was like, oh, hey, it's Elliot. I'll like him. Give him a follow or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, happy birthday, Elliot.
Absolutely.
And then September 4th, 1948, Michael Berryman from The Hills Have Eyes and The Devil's Rejects. I'm having a hard time placing Michael Berryman, so I'm going to look him up. What
kind of is he? Everybody will know him when you see him. He's very distinctive looking.
Is he the weird looking guy?
He is. He's very distinctive looking.
He is the weird looking guy. Yep.
He is.
And I don't mean that in a mean way. I think that his career has benefited from his potential weirdness.
No offense, but I'm sure a lot of his casting is because of his appearance, and that's okay. It is what it is. But yeah, he has a very distinctive look.
I mean, he's still making movies to this day. I mean, he's born 48, so I mean, he's pushing probably 70s. Is that right? Is that about right?
I mean, he's
52 plus 24, so he's
only a few years off from 80.
Dang.
But go get it, Michael.
For real.
Keep working, buddy.
We'll watch anything you put out, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. All right. Happy birthday, Michael, of course. And moving on to some upcoming movie anniversaries. We have August 30th, 1972, the original Last House on the Left. I'm not a huge fan of Last House on the Left or the remake. It's just not my kind of movie, but hey, I respect it for the impact it's had on horror, and it's a Wes Craven film if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. right?
It is. Never mind. Wrong guy. Yeah, it is though.
Yep. Good old Wes Craven back in the dizzy. This predates most of his other works, I would say, 72. Mm-hmm. So got to start somewhere. That's what they say.
Yeah, that's a pretty good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. It had some pretty, you know, Last House on the Left pretty much started the exploitation genre, which, again, I like to kind of, I look at a lot of these movies from like a historical perspective, and like Last House on the Left truly, you know, it is, in my opinion, one of the definitive exploitation films of its time. So definitely, if you are into those kinds of movies, and it has some graphic nature to it, so just forewarning there, but it's not a horrible movie. It's just not everyone's cup of tea, of course. But moving on to August 30th, 1991, so just a few many years later, Child's Play 3. We have ranked the Child's Play movies. I don't remember. Have we done Child's Play movies?
Yep, we did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't remember where this fell in that ranking. But I like this movie, but I don't think you like this movie.
Is this the military school one?
Yes.
Yeah, not one of my favorites. It not horrible, not bad. But to me, not as strong as 1 and 2. Yeah, I don't know. And some of the later ones, I think, a little bit surpassed it. Yeah, I don't remember where we put it on the list, but it's a fun movie still, but it's just, yeah, not one of my favorites of the Child's Play series.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I'm sure it's somebody's favorite, and according to IMDb, it is streaming on Netflix, so if you want to check out this bad boy, watch it on Netflix.
There you go.
Very good. And then moving on to August 31st, 1984, we have Chud. Can't say that I've seen this movie, but from what I can tell, it's something about the sewers.
Yeah, there's some creatures living in the sewers that are causing some people to disappear, and there's some kind of policeman and maybe a reporter. I don't know, there's like a little group of people trying to figure out what's going on. I think they end up going into the sewer and stuff, but I haven't seen it in a while, but it's a... it's fun enough. It's one of those typical kind of 80s kind of movie, you know, creature type movies.
There you go. Can't beat a good little creature type movie. When I first saw the cover, I actually kind of thought it was going to be like the Atomic Avenger or like Maniac Cop, just because it has kind of like that same vibe of like something like that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But no, it's a little bit different. And who is that guy? I feel like I've seen him before. Oh, it's John Hurd. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've mm-hmm. seen him before. He's in Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
I love Home Alone. But we're not here to talk about Home Alone. Moving on to August 31st, 2001, which also, by the way, I for some reason forgot the other day that there are 31 days in August. I totally thought it stopped at 30 because July had 31 days. So that's a big oof on me.
Count those knuckles, you ever heard that trick?
I've heard that method, but I've never done it before.
Oh, well, you're missing out, I guess. I don't know.
Is it like in between the knuckles you count as well, right?
Yeah, like if you count, start with your pointer finger, your first finger is January. So each knuckle is 30 days. Each one
Okay.
that's on the knuckle is 30 days. Each one in between is, well, on the knuckle is 31 days. Excuse me, 31 days. Everything in between, obviously, except for February, is 30 days. So that's why when you get to, you hit January, February, March, if you get to July on one knuckle, then you start back on August. So you got two knuckles in a row.
Okay. I got you. Well, that makes sense. Well, I'll remember
I don't
that next
know.
time.
That's how I was taught when I was a kid.
Fair enough,
Weird,
because that means that
weirdly enough.
July and August would be knuckle to knuckle, so that means they both have
Yes.
31 days.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go. Learn something new every day, folks. But
The knuckle count.
August 31st, 2001, which I didn't know existed, Jeepers Creepers was released.
Oh,
Jeepers. I love Jeepers Creepers.
yeah.
And Jeepers Creepers 2. After that, it falls off hard. But yeah, Jeepers Creepers is iconic. Super good.
Love it. Justin Long in it. And great movie. Great movie. Just got everything you want, right? Great villain character. The cool truck, the Jeepers Creepers truck thing. Just it's got everything you want. It clicks. Love
Love it. I love the what's the license plate? It's like eating you or be eating you or something like
it.
that.
Yeah, something like it. Yeah.
Love that.
Funny,
Boy, I
how does the guy get the? You ever wonder, what does he walk into
the B right, the
the
DMV or
BMV?
whatever.
Yeah, like he is. It's like what the bike. You get a personalized plate. How does the concept of that happen?
How does he pay for the personalized license plate? Who knows?
I have so many. I want a prequel series that shows these kind of things, right? Him. I want
Right.
to see him putting this truck together the way it is and getting the pull. I just I, you know I, come on, I need a little context.
Seriously. But I digress. Moving on though to August 31st, 2007, Halloween Rob Zombie edition. Listen, if it were not a Halloween movie with Michael Myers, it probably would be a pretty good movie. It's just that it really goes too deep and too hard on the already tried and true story of Michael Myers. So, we give our shit to Rob Zombie. He has his good stuff and some bad stuff, mostly bad stuff. But hey, Rob, we still love you. Just this was not one of your bangers. That's all we can say.
The movie is too long,
Yes.
and it missed its natural cutoff point. But it's just I don't know. Halloween didn't need to be remade, and so I don't care who did it. I don't care what they did. It just the movie doesn't need to be remade. And yeah, overall, not a fan of zombie. I mean, his movies, but so Rob, just keep making music, buddy, and I'll still at least support you somewhat.
That's right. Make that music.
Do enjoy his music.
Right. But all right. I think that finishes up our birthdays and anniversary. So all we have left is upcoming releases. Starting us off with The Front Room, starring Brandy. Comes to theaters on September 6th. It is described as the story of a newly pregnant couple who are forced to take in an ailing estranged stepmother. I have seen this trailer for this. And it looks interesting.
It
It
does.
gives me Get Out vibes. It looks good.
Yeah, I think so too. This trailer played before something that I went and saw. I actually saw this trailer in the theater, but it does look fun. It's kind of your typical, I don't know, whatever. Doesn't seem like it's breaking any molds, but who knows? It may have a twist or two in there, but yeah, looks fun. Looks like a decent little watch.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's on September 6th. So not this weekend, but next weekend. And then coming up on September 10th, Creeping Death comes to Screambox on September 10th, described as a Halloween has always been Tim's favorite holiday until his mother was diagnosed with cancer. Now all he wants is a quiet night in. This is quickly disrupted when his friends pay him a visit after stealing a mysterious sack from the doorstep of a local crazy. The mysterious sack is certainly an intriguing plot point. And I will watch this movie just because it's on Screambox and because Mysterious Sack is a very, very, in my opinion, a very good way to get somebody to watch that movie.
Yeah, it's like I haven't even seen it, don't know what it is, but there's two things that already make it appeal to me is number one, it's occurring on Halloween. So you're just like playing in all my things there. And number two, I want to know what's in the fucking sack already. Don't know anything else about this, but just because you say mysterious sack from the doorstep of a local crazy, I want to know what's in the sack. Why is the sack sitting on the doorstep? Why is it outside? So what is it, and who the hell is this crazy guy? What's up with him? So it's already got my interest, and I know nothing about it. I've not seen any trailers, know very little, but I would watch it just based on Mysterious Sack.
Absolutely.
And you
Should have
watch
just called a mysterious sack.
the Mysterious Sack will probably have jack shit to do with the movie when we actually watch it. But
Oh, for sure. Literally, it'll be like 5 seconds and then it'll never come up again.
I will watch this entire movie. Say, what about the sack?
It's like Frogman Flex. It's just like mysterious sack.
Yeah.
Love it. All right. Moving on to the movie that we're actually going to be reviewing next week. The Well comes to video on demand on September 3rd, starring Lauren Lovera of Terrifier 2 and 3 fame. The movie is described as a budding art restorer travels to a small Italian village to bring a medieval painting back to its former glory. Little does she know, she is placing her life in danger from an evil curse and a monster born of myth and brutal pain. Again, this will be our review for next episode, assuming that we're not able to catch stream, which I'm not assuming we'll be able to within the next week. It'll probably be in a little bit, but we'll see.
Never know, never know. There are irons in the fire that could turn out very good for us. Never know though.
True.
We
Absolutely.
will talk about said things off air. But
Absolutely.
for now, the plan is this is the movie next week.
There you go. Either way, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be fun.
Yes. Regardless, I will watch the movie regardless.
Absolutely. So, well, there you have it, guys. That pretty much does it. We had a lot to go over there. So, that's our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. So, we're going to take a pause while we do. Make sure you follow us on social media so that way you can keep up to date with all the good shit that we post, all the little updates and little tasty tidbits, maybe even a mysterious sack or two. Not mine or Dave's. Who knows?
I'm not saying my sex not a little mysterious,
But I'm not posting it on social media.
but I'm not. No, you don't have to worry about seeing that on our social media accounts.
Anywho, follow us on social media. And when we come back, we'll have our official review of The Funeral. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrestlepod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right. And we are back here on Listen to the Screams. We have refreshed ourselves, got a drink, and adjusted our mysterious sacks, and we're ready to roll with our review of The Funeral. This movie debuted on Screambox on August 27th, directed by, I am going to completely butcher all these names because they're whatever, Turkish or whatever else, directed by Orkun Biram, starring Imral Ata, ooh, Alat Noprak, Gizem Erdem, and others. This movie, it's subtitled. And it was described as a slow burn zombie type thing. That's how they described it. Oh man, I'm gonna tell you this up front. I didn't really care for the movie. It did build kind of slow, and then it got to the point where I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like, okay, first of all, this dude's just too fucking calm and accepting of what's happening here, and it's just kind of weird. And I know he's was kind of in a bad place, I guess, and I don't know. The whole movie just, I don't know, it kind of confounded me a little. And if the further it went, it didn't really clarify for me. And A lot of times I blame subtitles for things like this, but it wasn't the subtitles. It was just, I don't know. The movie just, it had me a little perplexed. It had me a little lost. I never felt that it clarified. Maybe I missed a lot of shit. I don't understand. But I don't know. I was just like, and this movie, fucking movie was like 2 hours long. And I'm like, dear God, you know, if you got something that you are describing yourself as a slow burn, don't make it 2 hours, because that is a way too slow a burn in my eyes. And I don't know if slow burn was necessarily the right description, because I don't think it. I think it got to some quote unquote zombie type behaviors quicker than I expected with that description. But I don't know. This movie never. It's like I just watched it, and it's just like all I wanted was like. I just wanted it to get over with. It just did not. It never hooked me. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just this is not my style of movie, which it's not. It's just not my kind of movie. But I really didn't enjoy it. Not really at all. I don't know. It did not. I had trouble finding the point behind it all. And, again, maybe it was me. Maybe I was not watching close enough or paying close enough. I don't know. I don't know whether to blame me or to blame the movie itself. So, Ike, tell me what you think here.
Well, so I think the one thing to say is that sometimes before I get into that, I did like the movie. It wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen, but I think that anytime when you watch a foreign language film, you have to take what you're watching with a huge grain of salt, just because I think that there are cultural differences as it relates to lore and mythology behind creatures. So to us, this kind of seemed like a zombie type deal, but there seemed to be sort of like a deeper, potentially more cult related power behind the creature in this film. Whether it's like a demon or some kind of other mythological creature from this area. That's one of the things that I sometimes have to take into consideration, that I maybe don't understand the nature of the lore. And I think that's a big grain of salt to take here, because truthfully, like you said, you know, the subtitles are fine. Subtitles, in my opinion, actually did a really good job of, you know, getting everything across the way that it needs to be getting across. But, yeah, it's one of those, I think that there's something more going on here, but I'm not quite sure. I'm not super familiar with Turkey or Turkish, you know, mythology or lore. But, you know, the movie on its own, without having that deeper knowledge, does come across as sort of just a slow burn sort of monster movie. It kind of makes sense to some degree throughout the film. And I will say that it was too long.
Yes.
I don't mean this in any way to be typecasting or stereotypical, but foreign language films do sometimes tend to be a little longer. A lot of, you know, Japanese horror films, I've watched Korean horror films, do tend to be sort of long. Not just because I feel like they want to get a lot across, and they perhaps don't get the opportunity to do so. So they got to take as much time as they can. But in any case, it was a little long. It was a little slow. When there was action, it was good. Some of the effects and the fighting with the axe part of the movie was a little hokey. You know, he would swing, he would hit people. And the sound effects sometimes didn't fully line up with like what was going on. And that's not necessarily any, you know, anything to do with the filming of the movie. It's more the post-production and sound and whatnot. So it probably just slipped by somebody. So it's not a huge deal. But it was just one of those movies that you watch and you're like, you know, this wasn't horrible, but it could have been better. It is kind of the thought process that I have. Maybe if I understood the culture a little more, maybe it would make a little more sense. And this guy called everyone brother and bro.
Yeah.
So like, what was the guy, the first guy he talked to, was that his actual brother? Or was that like a friend? I was a little confused on that.
I don't know.
Because I know like in like Middle Eastern culture, the phrase bro or brother is often used to like, you know, hello brother, how are you? It's more of like hello my friend, you know, or my guy.
It confused me, and I came through the wrestling business where everybody's brother.
Listen here, brother.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was a little confused about that little bit of nuance, because that guy was then at the end of the film, which I'm not going to ruin what happens, but so he, you know, that he does have a little bit of a resurgence. But yeah, so I was a little lost on that. Like I said, cultural difference. We don't really call people brother in that fashion. So I was a little confused if that was his actual brother or just like a good friend. But then he called that other guy brother, which, I mean, I'm almost positive that wasn't his brother. So
yeah, I don't know.
Some bad stuff happened to him, but yeah. So in any case, the kind of long and short of it, long movie, very slow burn. It did have some good parts, had a little bit of hokiness throughout. And I definitely think that the cultural appreciation part of it, it does fall to me a little bit, because I am a little ignorant to, you know, some of their customs and things of that nature, which I think might be important to view the film through the proper lens. So I can't fault them for that per se, but I will say it was very long. That's my biggest critique, is I'm like, man, this movie's been going on forever.
Definitely. And I've come off my blanket statement about movie length, right? Because, you know, again, I hold true that if you've got a good movie and you've got a good script content, the length's not an issue, right? It doesn't matter. As long as you're filling that time wisely, and it is enough there to hold the viewer interest, and you're not just needlessly padding the movie, I'm fine with the length. If this movie is one, though, that falls into that, you could have easily trimmed some out and it been okay. It wouldn't have hurt what the story you're telling. And again, yes, it may be a different filmmaking style culturally and whatnot. I do understand that, but it was long. And to me, there was not enough here for 2 hours. But again, part of it is just, again, it never gripped me and captivated me, never took me out of the, you know, and again, it had nothing to do with subtitles. I was fine with that. It didn't bother me. And lots of times subtitles, it coerces me or causes me to have to watch the movie closer. Right. Cause you're watching, you know, paying attention to that. But I don't know, the movie just, it wasn't it for me. So, I don't know. Not my kind of movie. But,
And I also want to point out, it is not specifically because it is a foreign language film either. There are plenty of foreign language films that I love. One of my all-time favorite foreign language films is Train to Busan, which is also a long, very long zombie movie, comparatively. It's just that sometimes it's easier to view some of the nuances through a certain lens. And I feel as perhaps this movie was not as easy to view through that lens. And that's not to say that the movie's bad either. That's just to say that maybe the movie wasn't for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big thing too, is that a lot of films are that way, that certain people are going to enjoy it to a certain extent or a certain degree, and other people are going to perhaps enjoy it more because they have a little more of that background, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, a review is just an opinion, right? I mean, yeah, there are certain aspects that you can say, statement-wise, about movies sometimes, right? But most of it is just, it's just opinion. Even right. When you get down to saying someone their acting was bad, it's still somewhat an opinion, right? Because someone else may see it and think otherwise. And while I can say that in my eyes, point blank, I thought this was a bad movie. I didn't like it. But that's just an opinion of mine. And someone else can watch it and think it's a great movie. And neither one of us are wrong.
Right.
Because, you know, that's just the way it is. And that's what we always say about our reviews. You know, if you listen to our reviews, and like me specifically, if you tend to kind of agree with me and your mindset and your tastes are in line with mine, then yeah, you probably wouldn't like this movie. But if not, right, you may love it. It's not just because I didn't like it does not mean someone else is not going to like it. That's why I always try to stress, hey, I didn't care for it. This is what I thought of the movie. But hey, watch it yourself, because right. It may be the greatest thing in the world, and that's fine. And neither one of us are wrong, because it's just taste and opinions. And that's one of the absolute wonderful things about entertainment, no matter what it is. It can hit different people in different ways and be totally, you know, and that's great. That's fine. It makes nobody wrong, makes nobody right. There's no way we should argue about that. So that's a wonderful thing that you can have this movie, which I really, 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 really didn't care for, and someone else, it could be their favorite movie in the world. And that to me is just, that's so cool. That's such a cool aspect of film and music and anything else, is that, I could get on a whole tangent on this, but there's, you know, it hits people in different ways. You're coming into it with your own things, your own background, your own, so it's just so cool, right? It's subjective. So again, we talk about what we think, you know, just to have a discussion about the movie a little bit, but just, you know, still view it for yourself and see what you think. And like we always say, give us some feedback, right? Let us know what you think, because I'm not going to hate anybody if they say this was their favorite movie in the world. That's cool. But I would love to hear why you loved it. Just because I like hearing that. So watch it yourself. Give us some feedback. And just realize that, you know, we're just a couple of knuckleheads that like horror movies and like to talk about them. That's all we are. And that's all anybody that does reviews, right?
Right.
Let's be real, man. I mean, there's been people on TV and everything else doing reviews. They're just people giving opinions. And no matter what they say and think, they're some form of an expert. They're just opinions. So, you know, whatever. Again, I warned people this was a soapbox episode for me. And this is very much a sticking point, right? I mean, reviews are a funny concept to me. They really, really are. Because there's nothing that you can quantify about them. Right? I mean, you can't. I mean, I guess you could say it's hard, right? What are you gonna say? How can you compare two movies and quantify it? Can you say one made more money than the other? Well, yeah, you can. But then you have to look at specifics. Did they appear on the exact same number of screens? Right? There's all these details that go into that. So, you know, reviews and that fucking, it's just opinion. So while we have fun discussing that and discussing these movies because we love them, the genre in general. Right. And can appreciate even a movie like this where I don't like, I can still appreciate the effort and appreciate some of what they did. And it's fine. You know, I have no regrets in watching the movie. It's still an opinion. So, I don't know. I guess it's a long way around, you know, to say, watch it yourself too. So.
Yeah. Good Lord.
Oh, we got to pause there. No one knows what to say.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I was waiting for you to be like, "When? Let's wrap it up."
Oh, are we ready to wrap it up? Oh, yeah, we got to rate the sucker, don't we? Sorry, I got sidetracked. By the way, we've talked about Dave and his drink. I am enjoying my very first Samuel Adams Oktoberfest of the beer of the year, and I'm a happy camper because I wait all year for Oktoberfest beer because I love the Samuel Adams Oktoberfest. So good shit. So yeah, we'll blame that pause on the beer, even though I've only had one. But anyway, my fat ass, it takes more than one beer to get drunk.
Blame it on the booze.
I'm still blaming it on Samuel Adams. But hey, if you want to do a sponsorship, hit me up. All right, yeah, let's rate this sucker. I'm gonna just throw it right out there. Did not like the movie. We know that. So I expressed that. So we'll get mine out of the way first so that we can end on a more positive note with yours, because even if you didn't love it, you liked it more than I did. I'm giving this thing a 2 out of 5, because it wasn't for me. Once again, my opinion on the matter, not my kind of movie, didn't enjoy it. So from the Dave barometer, it's a 2 out of 5 screen. So Ike, what are you giving it?
You know, it's kind of hard, but like, I'm going to have to say this is probably like a 2.5 out of 5 for me. Just because, you know, while I did not hate the movie and I liked it a little bit, there was a lot that I didn't, that didn't really like strike me the way I think it was meant to. So I would say a solid 2.5 out of 5, as solid as that can be.
Well, there you go. So even if we just lean towards Ike's, slightly below that baseline enjoyment level of a 3 that we do. So let us know what you think of the movie, right? It is available now on Screenbox. Please watch it. Please, for no other reason, just do it to support Screenbox, right? I mean, we love Screenbox. And regardless of anything else, if it were not for a service like Screenbox, we wouldn't have even had the opportunity to see this film and to even discuss it or review it. So that alone is a pretty cool thing. So thank you, Screenbox, for putting it out there. And so go watch it yourself. It's called The Funeral, as we said. It is on Screenbox. And give us some feedback. We plug the social media nonstop. But hit us up. Give us some feedback on social media about the movie and the things in general. Remember, you give us some feedback, you may be the future subject of a Talk to Us Internet segment right here on the show. Positive thing. We're not on here to blister anybody, but we may use some of your points to spawn a discussion here on the show. So how cool is that, right? So let us know what you think. Ike mentioned earlier, talked about upcoming releases. Next episode, we will be reviewing The Well, and I am looking forward to this movie. It sounds pretty cool, and we'll see what we think of it next episode. If by chance something brews or happens and we get to see stream, well, you might get 2 reviews next week, or there's just the off chance that I apologize, The Well just may get bumped altogether, and yeah. we may just do stream. So, but as of now, the schedule is The Well. So if you watch social media for further developments as we get them, we will make adaptation. As anybody in the world of professional wrestling knows, we do have the subtext of the card is subject to change. Oh, there you go. We do what we want, and blame the beer in the end. Amen. So that's right. Always a good philosophy for life. So, all right. So before we wrap this up and get out of here, we had a fun-filled episode. Lots we talked about. Hopefully you enjoyed. Thank you for listening to us and your support. Ike, anything you want to throw in there?
You know, only other thing I want to say is that we are approaching Spooktober time. You know, September is the best time to, you know, start getting all your, you know, Halloween stuff brewing. Mm-hmm. You're going to start seeing all the fall shit coming out. You know, you got your pumpkin spice, you got your, all your good shit that's coming out from these different places. But also something I'm excited for, if you guys have never been, there's a burrito place called Hothead Burritos. They have a new thing called The Ghost. It's a hot burrito with ghost pepper sauce and Reaper cheese. And I'm ready to eat it and just absolutely burn my asshole. So I'm ready. Mm-hmm.
I will be shitting fire.
That's right. That's right. I love Hothead Burrito. Sponsor us, Hothead Burrito.
Yes, they are very good. We don't have one in the area, but I have eaten there. Very, very good. And whew, you get an abundance of food for your money there.
You really do. They have not. They don't price gouge at Hothead Burrito. Mm-hmm. And for fun fact, I try and eat decently during the week. Mm-hmm. So I'll go to Hothead Burritos, and man, you can get a lot of food for not a lot of calories, which is another big thing too for those of us who are, you know, that pay attention to that. But it's so good. All their sauces. Holy shit, they have so many sauces. I know this isn't a food podcast, but if you guys haven't, try their jalapeno ranch. It's delicious.
There you go. But yes, it is almost Spooktober. This weekend after this release will be the 1st of September, and that is officially when I am able and allowed by Monica to get my Halloween decorations out and decorate. So I will be doing that. Not ashamed to admit, I have already partaken in pumpkin spice. We've already been to Starbucks and got pumpkin spice. As you just heard, I am drinking Oktoberfest beer. I have had some pumpkin-shaped Snickers. So I am already dabbling in the Spooktober the best I can. But yeah, full board coming up. It's really going to hit hard. I'm going to have all the decorations out. And that is always such a happy time for me. I love walking through. You know, not like I don't walk in my office and there's horror, you know, toys out and everything else anyway. But I'm ready. I'm ready for more. I'm ready for that time of year. I'm ready for the world to catch up to all the rest of us who believe that Spooktober is a year-round event and do all these fun things and watch all these horror movies all year round. So come join us in the happiness.
Yes.
that is coming. So, and one thing that I always love and I'm always enthralled with, guys, if you dress up for any reason, whether it be a convention or a Halloween party or whatever it may be, I love seeing people's costumes, horror related costumes and cosplays and everything else. So if you dress up as something, please share that on social media and tag us in it. We would love to see it because again, that brings a lot of joy to see such things. I one of my favorite parts of going to conventions and stuff is seeing people that cosplay, because there was so many talented and creative people out there that do such cool things. And I mean, it's some of their cosplays are like, it's screen level, right? It's like, right, you can't tell the difference, and I love it. So let us see that. Let us see all your Spooktober activities. It is going to be, it's just time to celebrate for us people. And if you love Spooktober, don't forget to go buy one of our shirts. We do have a shirt that says Spooktober is a year-round event. Just check our links in the show notes and go get that. So, all right, then. We got sidetracked on Spooktober. Let's wrap it up. Thank you to our wives for all their support and everything else. They will be on sometime in the near future for another Wives Rebuttal. It's about that time, Ike, for us to gear up and brace ourselves and do it again. So, the things we do for the listeners, I tell you what.
Right.
thank you to you guys for listening, for following, for your engagements on social media. It is very much appreciated. And we do hope you enjoy what we do here. If you have any suggestions or feedback, please let us know and give it to us, because we do like to direct things a little bit for what you enjoy, because, you know, we want this to be entertaining for you. So if you have any suggestions for us, please let us know. And until the next episode, when we review The Well, or quite possibly stream, who knows? As of now, it's The Well, but it's like this weird storyline developing here. Who knows what's going to be? True. Wherever you go, wherever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.